How do I know if it's recording or not?
It's recording. It says in the top, at least on my screen, it says in the top that it's recording.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Tonight, in the shiur, I'm going to examine, in light of what I heard from Rav Soloveitchik in the 70s, I'm going to contrast two of the stories that I found here in Sefer Bereishis. First, the Dor HaMabul, and we're going to contrast that with the Dor HaFloga. So what we'll do is we'll read Psukim in both, and what I'm going to attempt to do, and this I did not hear from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, but I'm going to extrapolate from what I said last week when I discussed Adam 1 and Adam 2. If you recall, let me just summarize. In the article, The Lonely Man of Faith, the Rav attempts to understand the two different stories of the creation of man. One is found in Perek Aleph of Sefer Bereishis, Parshat Bereishis, and the other is in Perek Beis of Parshat Bereishis. These are two different aspects characterizing man. And based on fundamental discrepancies in the two accounts of the creation of man, Rav Soloveitchik defined two different types, two different tipusim. One he called Adam 1, one he called Adam 2. We'll just briefly mention some of the distinctions between them. Adam 1 is a majestic, intellectual kind of being. He's primarily interested in kibush. The Torah tells us what's the mandate of Adam HaRishon? Pru urvu, umilu esara tzvi kivshua. He's engaged in conquest. And in terms of his social aspect, that really is not how he defines his self-worth. He defines his self-worth based on accomplishment, based on achievement, based on his ability to conquer nature, to triumph over nature. That's his definition of what it means to be Adam HaRishon. On the other hand, Adam number two, said Rav Soloveitchik, is a lonely existentialist. He's not able to find security in conquest, in achievements, in pondering the mysteries of the universe, but he's rather connected to a community of ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim, a community of those who believe in Hashem Yisbarach. He recognizes that he's simply el ofar atov, el ofar toshuv, he's a handful of dust. And there are many other distinctions that we noted between Adam 1 and Adam 2. Adam 1, we said, the Shem Elokim is the prominent Shem Hashem that's found in Perek Aleph of Bereishis. Elokim means Midas Adin. Elokim refers to Hashem in Teva, Hashem in nature, and all the laws of nature that have to be observed, that have to be abided by. Mashen Kein, in Perek Beis of Bereishis, here we have the Shem Yudke Vavke. Biyom Bero Hashem Elokim Eretz Hashamayim. And the Shem Yudke Vavke is the Shem that connotes Midas Arachamim. The human element, the element of sensitivity to human beings and the like. And there are other chilukim, if you recall, between how the two different roles are. We mentioned the role in Adam 1 is the kivshua, engage in conquest. The role of the second Adam, Adam number 2, in Perek Beis HaBereishis is la'avdo l'shamra. Thirdly, we pointed out the distinction between the relationship between husband and wife in Perek Aleph, and husband and wife in Perek Beis. In Perek Aleph, the Torah describes Zachar Unikeva, that they were created as male and female. They were talking about two genders. However, the concept of Ish V'Isha and the Shechina Shruya B'neihem and the relationship and the interaction and the love between a husband and wife primarily comes to the fore in Perek Beis of Sefer Bereishis. And there are other chilukim as well. So these two different personalities function inside every one of us. And ultimately, we need both elements. We need both the majestic element, the conquest element, and the second element of being a covenantal being, of being connected to Hashem Yisbarach, Ma'amina b'nei Ma'amirim. So even though all of us may have seemingly antithetical traits, they really complement each other. Perek Aleph of Parshat Bereishis complements Perek Beis, a Perek Bereishis. And so I want to in that light, examine now these two parshios, the parsha of the Dor HaMabul and the parsha of the Dor HaFloga. And before I do so, I'll refer you to a Rashi that's found actually in Parshas Noach. If you have a Chumash with Rashi, that would be helpful as well. But we'll read the Psukim and we'll comment on a very striking Rashi. Rashi asks a very famous question. Rashi wants to know which of the two Averos, namely the Dor HaMabul or the Dor HaFloga, which was more Chomor. If you remember, last night when we spoke about the Pasha, we mentioned the Chet of Gezel. That's what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. The Dor HaMabul was essentially punished because of Gezel, thievery. And we contrasted last night Gezel as opposed to Chesed. The Chesed of Noach, in the course of the year that he was on the Teva, the unbelievable Chesed that Noach did with all the animals that were on the ark in the course of the year, and it was phenomenal Chesed, Chesed way beyond the basic Chesed that all of us are obligated to do. And that's in contrast to the Gezel that they were taken to task for which why the world was destroyed. So Rashi, in Parshas Noach, in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes, the Torah tells us that what was the upshot of the Dor HaFloga? The upshot was that Hashem decided to scatter them. And not only did he scatter them, but they now spoke different languages and they weren't able to communicate with each other and they were confounded. We'll read the Psukim in a few moments, but I want to comment just on that Rashi on Pasuk Tes. Al-Kain Karoshima Bavel Kisham Balal Hashem Sfas Kol Aretz. There Hashem confounded, created confusion, different languages, inability to converse, to communicate with each other. Umisham hefitzam Hashem al panei kol aretz. As a result, they were scattered everywhere. Comments Rashi, umisham hefitzam Hashem al panei kol aretz. So Rashi says, limei she'en lahem chelek dolam haba. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that they lost a chelek in olam haba. The Mishnah has in chelek a whole series of people who have no chelek in olam haba. So one of them is this door, this generation. So then Rashi poses the question, v'chi ezo kasha. Rashi says, which of the two doros is more severe? Which of the two crimes is more heinous? Shaldor HaMabul or Shaldor HaPaloga? Which of the two? Is it the Dor HaMabul that's worse? Or the Dor HaPaloga, the Dor HaFloga? The one that wanted to build this Tower of Babel. So Rashi answers the question. Elu lo pashtu yad bi'ikar li lochim bo. Named the Dor HaMabul, they didn't extend their hand. They weren't trying to rebel. They weren't trying to wage war with Hashem Yisbarach. Ve'elu, while the Dor HaPaloga, the door that built the Tower of Babel, pashtu yad bi'ikar li lochim bo. They thought they're going to now stretch out their hand and somehow engage in a battle with Hashem Yisbarach. Says Rashi, elu nishtafu ve'elu lo nebdu min ha'olam. And yet, what do we see? That the Dor HaMabul, even though seemingly they were not, in terms of the avera that they did, the transgression was not as severe as that of the Dor HaFloga, yet they were inundated, they were deluged. A torrential Mabul came and completely wiped them off the map. Mashen Ken Ve'elo, the second group, that according to Rashi, is far more severe, Lo Nevdu Min Olam, they didn't perish. They remained. It's true, they were scattered. They were confounded. Many, many languages. They're now dispersed everywhere, but still they're extant, they're around. So Rashi says, why is that so? And Rashi answers, Elo Shadur HaMabul, Hoyu Gazlonim, Hoyu Samriva Minayim, Lekach Nevdu. Rashi says something incredible. The HaMabul were guilty of Gezel, as I mentioned, and there was a lot of machlikes between them, Lekach Nevdu, therefore they were destroyed. Ve'elu, while the Dor HaFloga had a common purpose in mind, namely they wanted to build that Tower of Babel. So even though they wanted to build the Tower Umigdal v'Rosh HaShavayim all the way up to the heavens, and they wanted to rebel against Hashem Yisbarach and to wage war with him, Ke'ilu, but in terms of their interaction, Elu ha'yinogim ava v'reyus b'neyem. Rashi said they got along with each other famously. There was love. There was a positive relationship. There was friendship. Shenemar, Sofa Achas, Udvarim Achadim. So therefore, Rashi says, Lamadata, from here we learn, Shesonuya machlokes, any kind of divisiveness, argumentative kind of relationships, is, in the eyes of Hashem Yisbarach, is something that he hates. The Gadol HaShalom, so great is the Koach of Shalom between individuals. And as the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Chanukah, Gadol HaShalom, Shekol HaTorah Kulo Nitna, Elalasa Shalom Ba'olam. The whole intent of the Torah is to create an atmosphere of Shalom between us, between everyone, Shenema, Drachea, Dachi Noam, V'chol Nesivosei HaShalom. So Rashi strikingly has accentuated the distinction between Dar Mabul and Dar Hafloga. Even though Dar Hafloga, their Avera was far more chamur, the enormity of their Avera was far greater. They wanted to rebel against Hashem, but because they treated each other with Ava V'Yachva V'Shalom Bereus, they interacted with each other wholesomely. Therefore, their situation was resolved by dispersing them, by scattering them, but they remained alive. In contradistinction to the Dar HaMabul that were completely destroyed. Their Aver was one of Gezel, not Milchama against Hashem, but they were totally destroyed. Why? And as Rashi indicated, because Hoysa Meriva B'neim, there was tremendous machlokas between them. There was no shalom, there was no amity, no peace, no friendship, and therefore they were destroyed. So that's by way of introduction to the topic that I'm about to discuss. And let's just now read a few psukim, both with reference to the Dar HaMabul and Dar HaFloga, and then we will proceed to articulate the Chiddush of Rav Soloveitchik with reference to this distinction between the Dar HaMabul and Dar HaFloga. Let's just go back for a moment to a few psukim. We read them actually yesterday in a shiur that we said, but let's just once again jigger our memories and refresh ourselves. When the Torah describes the Dar HaMabul, as undoubtedly you know, it begins really with the end of Parshas Bereishis. The Torah describes almost a situation where seemingly things are out of control. If you take a look in Perek Vav, Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi ki echel ha'adam, when people began to multiply, there were many daughters, many women, and there's a pasuk that follows upon the heels of pasuk aleph, pasuk beis, which is almost impossible to understand, but it looks like somehow the children of God, ostensibly malachim, saw these women. They were very attractive. They simply were grabbing women all over the place. So what did Hashem say? Look at this pasuk. I can't handle this. Why? Look at the language that the Torah uses. Because he's flesh. He's flesh and blood. He's human with all the human weaknesses, with all the human frailties. And the Torah goes on to describe in the next pasuk, "Hanafilim hayu baaretz v'yam ma'im." There were these giants. The gamachrichena shavu bnei Elohim al benos adam. The older them, somehow these children of God were able to consort with women, and they gave birth to giborim Hashem yolam anshi Hashem. Continuing from hey all the way to the end of the parsha, "Vayar Hashem ki rabba rasa adam baaretz v'chol yetsa machshavos libo rak rak kol hayom." He saw the yetzahara was absolutely in charge. And as a result, Hashem regrets, Pasuk Vav, regrets creating human being by Yisatzi Belibo, and decides, Emche Esa Adam Asher Barasim Yal Bnei Adama, I'm going to destroy all humanity. Ki Nichamti Ki Yasise. But of course, Noach is the only ray of hope. V'Noach Matzal Chein V'Enei Hashem. And then we continue the beginning of Pashas Noach, verse Yubsokin. Noach is Is Tzadik, Tamim Hoya B'Darosov. However, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vatishoche Sa'aretz Vnei Elokim, there's complete hashchasa. Hashchasa means destruction. We're talking about moral decay, ethical destruction. We mentioned Vatimale Aretz Hamas, Gezel, and the like. Vayar Elokim Es Sa'aretz Vnei Nishchasa, Ki Hishchis Kol Basar Es Darko Al Aretz. I just want to stress that language. The Torah said earlier, Bishagam Hu Basar, It speaks about the mortality, about the human weakness. Basar means flesh, flesh and blood. And here also, Kol Basar was Mashchis Darko, destroyed and was engaged in moral destruction, ethical destruction, wanton sexual promiscuity. That's how the Torah and Chazal describe. So as a result, Hashem decided to destroy the world. And that's the story, more or less, of the Dor HaMabul. Let's turn now to the Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaFlaga is found in Perek Yud Aleph, here, Parshas Noach. Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. We'll read it carefully. There are many diukim to be made. We'll only make one or two diukim. Vayi kol haaretz safa echas. The Torah describes they spoke one language. Udvarim achodim. The same words. Now I'm going to read the psukim and you're going to tell me masana that should be derived from the psukim. Something I was going to note, which is very significant. Vayi benasa mikedem. They travel from the east. They found the valley in the land of Shinar. They settled there. So now they said one to the other, let's go make bricks. Let's burn them. Let's get a kiln. They have now building materials. And they said, let's build a city. With a tower, with its top in the sky, all the way up. We'll make a name for ourselves. This way we'll be united, and somehow, if we don't do this, we'll scatter, we'll be dispersed. Hashem came down and wanted to see exactly what they're doing. He wanted to see this tower and the city. Vayomer Hashem. Hey, Nam Echad, it seems to be one nation, v'safa achad et kulam, one language, v'zeh achilom v'asod, look what they've begun to do, v'yato lo yibatzer mehem, kol asher yozmu l'asos. Hova nerda, what will I do? I want to confound them. V'navlo shom svasam. It will no longer be one language. There will be many, many languages. They won't be able to communicate with each other. They won't be able to dialogue, to converse with each other. Asher lo yishmu isvasvei, and that's what Hashem did. In Pasuk Ches, Vayofes Hashem also Misham al Pnei Kol Aretz, and they were scattered, and now as a result of that, the project came to a halt. Vayachdulu Nosa Yir, Al Kain Karashima Babel, Kisham Balal Hashem's Fas Kol Aretz. That's when Hashem confounded and created Bilbo, Umisham Bevitzam Hashem al Pnei Kol Aretz. So when you read the Psukim in a very cursory kind of way, it's not clear. What was so terrible about this generation? Why are they taken to task? After all, they wanted to have a certain kind of achdus, a certain unity, and that seems to be a positive goal. And in a similar fashion, they're using human ingenuity to initiate an industrial revolution, developing man-made building materials, bricks of clay. That seems to be a positive kind of notion to advance society. And there appears to be nothing wrong with building a city and a tower. Why was Hashem so angered? He decided to stop this construction. He decided to disperse all of mankind. So I mentioned at the beginning of this year that Rashi quotes from Chazal that the reason why they're critiqued is because they had a very antagonistic attitude towards Hashem Yisbarach. But I want to just focus on one thing, and perhaps you'll notice it on your own. Notice, in terms of basic diktuk, simple grammar, what grammar is being used by the Torah here again and again and again? And the answer is first person, Lashon Rabbim, first person plural. Take a look at the language again in the Psukim. Hava nil bana levenin, plural, nil bana, together. Nisrafa l'sreifa, let's make a kiln, together. Vayomru, and they said, Hova, nivne lanu ir, let's build a city. Again, first person, plural, Lashon Rabbim. Vinase lanu shem, first person, plural. Pen nafutz, first person, plural. Al panei kol aretz. And that was essentially, they're devoting all their efforts together in a unified kind of fashion, collectively, towards one end. So what exactly is this society focused on? Focused on one mandate, building this tower, and their interest, of course, is themselves, not for Hashem Yisbarach. And now, with this Hakdama, I just want to mention one other element before I introduce Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal into the scene. It would seem to me that based on the analysis of Adam 1 and Adam 2 that we articulated last time, when you examine the Dar Afloga, it's clear their interest is essentially an Adam A kind of, Adam number one kind of function. Namely, they want to make a name. They don't want to be scattered across the face of the earth. They want to, in the words of Rav Soloveitchik, to harness, to dominate the elemental natural forces. They want to engage in conquest. They want to build the tower to protect them from future floods. Rashi actually has a comment at the very beginning of the Pasha, a very striking comment in Rashi, very strange. On Dvorim Achodi, Rashi says, Echol the elephant tofresh nun vav shanim harakia mismotate. They were afraid that every X number of years, the firmament is going to self-implode. And therefore, k'shem sh'asa b'mei amabul, vav benasel osmuchas. They decide to go and build a support system for the heavens. That's some misconception. They thought a flood occurs every 1,656 years. And in order to find security, so we have to go ahead and build some sort of a tower, sort of conquer nature. Sounds to me like a kind of Adam A, Adam 1 personality. But I now want to get to Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal and the Chiddush that he suggested, which is based on a tefillah that we say every single day. And we don't even notice the tefillah, and I think it's very meduyak, even though he didn't mention this, but it's meduyak in the psukim that I referred to a few moments ago. In the Aleinu L'Shabeach, we say it every day after davening, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. So there's the following pasuk that appears. You know, Aleinu, we pointed out already, consists of two sections. One is the first section that we, Klal Yisrael, recognize Hashem. I spoke about it in terms of Malchiyot. And the second is Al Kein Nekaveh, we want the entire world to recognize Hashem. So in that context, there is the following pasuk. V'chol b'nei vasar yikru v'shmecha. What is called b'nei basar? All flesh, all human beings should call out to Hashem. That's one segment. And there's a second segment. Lahapno se'lecha, who should turn to Hashem? Kol rishei aretz, all the wicked people of the earth. So the pasuk in Aleinu, which is taken from a pasuk really in Yeshayahu, not completely, but partially. So society consists of two different types of people. B'nei basar, people of flesh and blood, human beings, and Rishei Aretz, the Rishoyim, the wicked people. What are these two groups? And in effect, what exactly do we have in mind? Of course, we're talking about the eschatological future, the Zman HaMashiach, where both B'nei Basar will invoke Hashem as Barach, and Rishei Aretz will also turn to Hashem as well. So apparently, this is the vision of the Messianic era. The question is, who are the B'nai Basar and who are the Rishei Aretz? Who are these human beings of flesh and blood and who are the wicked people? And those, neither of them recognize Hashem. And that's exactly what the hope is, that both of these groups will recognize Hashem as Barach. So our Soloveitchik suggested the following. The Dar Mabul, they are the B'nai Basar. And in light of the diuk in the pasuk I made earlier, that the Torah uses the language of bishagam hu basar, and afterwards again the Torah repeats the idea of basar. So the Dar Mabul consists of b'nei basar. What about the second dar, namely the second group, rishei aretz? That's the Dar Afloga. And again, the b'nei basar is also reflected in the language. Ki hishchis kol basar es darko al haaretz. That refers to the Dar Mabul. The other group is Rishei Aretz, the wicked people, represented by Nimrod and company. Nimrod is a symbol of the Dar Afloga. So now let's just define a bit more precisely the two different groups. What's the symbol of the Dar Mabul? And the pasuk tells us, and I just read in Paragvav Pasuk Beis, Essentially, they are into paganism. What is paganism? Paganism essentially is, I want to enjoy life. I want to do anything I can to have fun, to have a good time. That's the focus of my life. The focus of my life is B'nai Basar. Namely, whom are the B'nai Basar? They go ahead and beauty becomes for them the ideal, carnal pleasures, sexual pleasures, fun. That's essentially a pagan kind of outlook. It's an outlook which is essentially has no moral norms, no ethical norms whatsoever. It preaches a pagan system of morality, unredeemed carnal beauty, sexual beauty, enjoying myself, having a great time. There's a fascinating Ramban, Rav Soloveitchik, who was very fond of. The Ramban cites the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar on the pasuk of Vachos Tuvalkayin Nama. The sister of Tuvalkayin was Nama. So the Ramban asks, why is it important to know the name of the sister of Tuvalkayin? So the Ramban says that she represents beauty incarnate, beauty unredeemed, beauty which is just sensual in nature. She's the beautiful woman who enticed others, who persuaded others. She precipitated the chet of essentially the defilement of the human being. And the Dor HaMabul was a very permissive generation. Promiscuity, permissiveness. They surrendered to beauty, to comfort, to convenience, to carnal pleasure, to sexual pleasures. And that's what the pasuk says. Vayiru b'nei Elohim es b'nosa adam ki tovo seina. They just grab women all over the place. And as Soloveitchik said, that's what American society, Western society is all about. Secular world. It's also unfortunately here in Eretz Yisrael as well. What do they preach? The answer is permissiveness. If I want to enjoy life, don't interfere with my ability to enjoy life. There are no norms. There are no tzivuyim, no commands, no responsibilities, no inhibitions. No restrictions. If I think this is the way to enjoy life, go right ahead. That's part of my democracy, part of my democratic freedom. I have the right to gratify whatever needs I have, whatever I feel is important for me. I don't have to surrender to any law. Nothing contaminates me. Nothing defiles me. What is my motto? Satisfying my desire. A streetcar named desire. That's the philosophy of Kol B'nei Basar Yikru Bishmecha. And that's the philosophy of the Dor HaMabul. And that philosophy, of course, is unfortunately being practiced today where the world is self-imploding. Take a look at what's happening in America. And unfortunately, even somewhat in Eretz Yisrael and certainly all over Europe, this hedonism, hedone, this liberal kind of thinking that there are no inhibitions, no restrictions whatsoever, and modern society can come up with anything. You're undoubtedly aware, I imagine, even you have some connection to what's happening in America with this woman who is a potential candidate to be a Supreme Court justice. And she's quite conservative in her outlook. And America is frightened that possibility of having another conservative Supreme Court justice sitting on the Supreme Court. Chas v'sholom, what's going to happen? We're going to go back to basic values, values of Tanakh, values of morality, values of ethics. Rahman Litzlan. God forbid such a thing should happen. That's the plus of the President of the United States, of Donald Trump. As wacky as he may be, but at the end of the day, he's still connected to fundamental values. There's a concept called family. There's a concept called husband and wife. There's a concept of having children. Wow. Chidushim. Unbelievable chidushim that we're not aware of. That the country essentially is divided into two, as you probably undoubtedly know. And that's exactly the struggle that's going on. It's an eternal struggle. It's a struggle for the very existence of the United States of America. Otherwise, it looks like if Chas v'Shalom, the direction goes elsewhere, the country will self-implode. It's almost a kind of Dor HaMabul writ large. So this philosophy is one that's essentially embedded in the Dor HaMabul. The Supreme Court is the most unpredictable body. I'm talking about decisions regarding abortion, regarding human life, regarding what's called Roe versus Wade. I have some familiarity with what's going on in the world. And this is exactly the issue that's taking place. That's B'nai Basar. Yes, we cherish beauty as well. We undoubtedly recognize the value of beauty. A chefet shel mitzvah, a beautiful lulav, a beautiful esrog, a beautiful wife that a person, everyone would like to have. But Chazal say, and the Vilna Gaon points this out in Eshes Chayim, sheker achein v'hevel ayofi, isha yiras Hashem hitisalo. Chayim, being someone having a sense of chayim, a sense of grace and charm, that's sheker. It's absolutely false. And beauty in and of itself is hevel, is worthless. But if it's combined in a woman who's Yirei Shamayim, who's medakti b'mitzvahs, who's a balas chesed, who's makir Torah, then those are the qualities of chayim. And yofi become beautiful qualities. But it needs redemption. Otherwise it's vulgar. Otherwise it's coarse. Otherwise it's boorish. Otherwise it's crass. Otherwise it has no value whatsoever. And that's what the B'nai Basar preach. Don't interfere with me. I want to have a good time. I can do whatever I wish. I am essentially an egotistical person involved in pleasure seeking. That's the goal of my life. That's the Dor HaMabul, said Rav Soloveitchik. Pure hedonism. And there are no restrictive norms. Nothing can interfere with my freedom. That's business society. And that's a society that you can see right now all over the world heading for disaster. Those are the B'nai Basar. I have obedience only to my flesh, to my Yitzhahara, to my passions, to my biological pressures. And essentially, I want to exploit nature for my own enjoyment. And as a result, the Dor HaMabul was led to annihilation, was led to destruction. And that's the motto of modern man. Modern man, Kol B'nai Basar Yikru B'Shmecha. We hope that even they will come to their senses. Eventually, even they, the Mitzvah Hashem, will recognize where they're going. Namely, they're going down the tubes very quickly. That's the Dor HaMabul that our Soloveitchik described. And the Dor HaMabul was led to Hashchasa, to destruction. And now let's contrast that with the Dor HaFloga. We said earlier, the Dor HaFloga is Adam 1. Namely, conquest. They have what they want to achieve. Whether it's in the world of science, the world of technology, and the world of mathematics. And they're very disciplined. Chazal, actually, there are many, many midrashim that describe the Dor HaFloga in terms of their interaction with each other. Rashi alludes to it over here when Rashi speaks about the Ava, the Achva, the Shalom Bereyos, because they were essentially united for one purpose. They had to build that Tower of Babel. They were dedicated without any restrictions, dedicated to a certain doctrine, dedicated to a certain philosophy, dedicated to a certain economic system, a certain political system. That's what the Dor HaFloga is all about. They're ready to sacrifice mankind for whatever idea they feel should come to the fore. So even though in the Dor HaMabul, there you find man who wants to be free and doesn't want any norms that will interfere with his enjoyment, his way of life, here we have the very antithesis, the very opposite. You have a very strict kind of system where a person becomes a slave, inflexible. I believe in a system, a certain philosophy contrived by man. I'm disciplined. I always comply with the law. Whatever I do, I comply with the law. Of course, with the wrong law. But this man, this kind of pagan as well, gives preference to the doctrine over a living human being. There's no humanity over here. It's just utopian ideas. And this we find in many, many different societies that all of us perhaps have maybe read about, studied about. I'm talking about all the isms of the world. Communism, socialism, and on and on and on. That sometimes the philosophy or the system that I'm pursuing, that I am following, that system becomes the overall overarching element. That's the Dor HaFloga. And usually there are power-hungry people who want to possess and own the individual. In the communist world, unquestionably, we have no shortage of them. In China, in Russia, whether it's Putin or whether it's the gentleman over there, that the President of the United States has a certain description of that little fella over there. So there also, we're talking about autocrats, demagogues who control and want to completely direct traffic, power-hungry individuals. They want to deprive the individual of his very soul. They want to depersonalize him. They want to convert him into a machine. And they are essentially turning their entire citizenry into chafotzim. There's no gavra. There's just a chefza. That's the dar floga. And there's a clear goal at the end of this entire derech. So they want to introduce uniformity. Has to be complete uniformity. Society should be totally homogeneous. No heterogeneity. We don't respect the differences between human beings. They all have to be harnessed and directed for one purpose, to build that tower of Babel. They tell you how to write. They tell you how to paint. They tell you how to think. You no longer are able to be on your own. You have no sense of freedom, of autonomy, of sovereignty whatsoever. It's all directed to the ultimate cause. And the ultimate cause in this situation was the Dor HaFloga. And this, Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal thought, is exactly what communist countries are all about. Whether it's in Cuba, whether it's in Chile, whether it's in Venezuela, whether it's in communist China, whether it's in the Bolshevik Revolution of 1918, whether it's in the philosophy of Lenin, of Stalin, of Hitler, Yimach Shemam B'Zichram, essentially, man is but a machine. Man is a slave. That's the Dor HaFloga that the Torah contrasts with the Dor HaMabul. So Rav Soloveitchik said that these two groups are alluded to in the Aleinu L'Shabeach. And the hope in Tefillah that we express in Aleinu L'Shabeach is, number one, Kol B'nei Basar Yikru V'Shmecha. That even those who are presently without any ethical system whatsoever, even those presently who are guided and driven by sensual desires, by yetzaharas, by taiva, by covet and the like, ultimately they'll come to their senses and yikru v'shmecha. Because if they don't, they'll be led to annihilation, similar to the destruction of the Dor HaMabul. Ki hishchis kol basar is darko ala aretz. And the world actually, to a large extent, is probably divided into two. America certainly is divided into two. And perhaps the presidency might be dependent upon this issue as well. I don't know. I'm not a Navi. But I see that division. And it's reflected in the Supreme Court, in this woman who is clearly a brilliant jurist, a brilliant lawyer. But she represents the conservative element, values that we hold dear. This is a woman who has 7 children. Veizmir, she has children. Pru or vu? Okay, perhaps Goyim are not mechuyim the mitzvah of pru or vu. She's a staunch Catholic and 2 children that she adopted. A black child, mind-boggling. And she may become, hopefully, the Supreme Court Justice. But what are the others trying to do? They're embroiled in politics. They're drowning in their desires, in their political desires, in their ego. They're egocentric, all these politicians. Now, Soloveitchik once commented on a Mishnah in Maseches Trumas that used the lashon of politika. What does that mean? So he quoted from Rabbi Yaakov Emden, politika means sheker. It's all false, what the President of the United States calls fake news. It's all fake. It's not real. It's not authentic. That's the Dor HaMabul. That's what's happening in America. That's what's happening in Europe. They're going off the deep end. They're going to self-implode unless they somehow redirect themselves. So the hope is, v'chol b'nei basar yikru v'shmecha, even those who are guided by sensuality, by desires, will come to their senses. And the second group as well, la'afno se'lech o'kol v'she'oretz, even the Rishayim who have this Dor HaFloga mentality. They want to conquer, they want to do, they want to build, but they have no humanity to them. They're just headed in one direction. They're just focused on one idea. And it's the communism, it's the socialism, it's all the isms, the Nazism, Yimach Shemam B'Zichram. Even they are also going to come to their senses and the realization, so essentially we have two societies that are being represented here. One is the Western world, Bnei Basar, and one is Rishei Oretz, China, Russia, Cuba, Venezuela, North America, South America, Chile, and the like. Both of them, both of these groups, said Rav Soloveitchik, are going to come to their senses. We are not simply disciplined machines. We are human beings. We have in us Adam A, Adam B, Adam 1, Adam 2. We have to combine them, the conquest, the majesty, but together with humanity, with the recognition of Hashem Echad, Ushma Echad. And so that's the ultimate hope and prayer. What an absolutely marvelous, beautiful drasha of Maran HaRav Soloveitchik Zatzal, embedded in the Aleinu that we say all the time. How many times have we said Kol B'nei Basar and Rishei Aretz? Thousands of times. And Yitz Hashem, all of you, Admei V'yasim Shana and good health, should continue to say it. But the recognition and the ability to ascribe these two groups to the Dar Mabel, Dar Floga, that requires a giant, a titan, a colossus of Rav Soloveitchik's stature, and that's what he did. Salavai, both of these groups in Mitzvah Hashem should come together. Kol B'nei Basar Yugu B'Shmecha, Western society, USA, Europe, etc. And the communists, China, Russia, Chile, v'chulu v'chulu, Rishei Aretz, and ultimately will come to the Hakara, V'hoya Hashem the Melech HaKol Aretz, B'yom Ahu Yiyeh, Hashem Echad U'Shma Yechad.
Amen.
Thank you, Shiva.
Great. I enjoyed it myself. I don't think I've ever said it over before. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, have a good night. Be well. Kol tzur. Be safe. Be well. And continue that slach and brach and everything.